I call that current flow. In the case of air molecules like O2, no current is flowing. Between the two atoms of oxygen, which get combined, and you and I call it O2, yes, those two atoms are sharing some electrons between those two atoms. But the molecule of O2 never trades an electron between O2 molecule number one and O2 molecule number two right alongside of it. They never trade electrons. Not one electron moves from one to the other. The spaces between those molecules is huge. There's nothing in between but a hard vacuum. Nobody has supplied in my model any E field to make those electrons even desire to move. They're tightly bound to each nucleus of each atom. The molecules of O2 do not puff up. The atoms of molecules do not puff up. The two of them get bound together. They move as an entity. The whole damn O2 as an entity moves with some average velocity. You and I call that temperature. They're striking each other every 63 nanometers of distance. They're striking the walls at tremendous rates. The velocity at which they strike the wall, you and I call that pressure. I don't have to expand those electron orbits. If I did, I'd be violating the quantum level at which they're going to be at, and they would be jumping back down again and giving off a characteristic wavelength of light. They don't do that. I think the whole damn molecule stays the same. If I looked at...
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
If I could look at one single molecule of O2 in the 50-degree oven, if I look at one single molecule of O2 in the 25-degree oven, I put a cage around each one of them and I analyze them, they are identical. No difference of any kind. The difference of the right-hand molecule, right-hand chamber, is that the whole damn molecule has a velocity that's greater. You and I call that greater temperature. Try that one on, Glenn. K2RIW.
No, here again, Dick. I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from, and I think it's kind of a mix here that that I still don't agree with, because in other words, one of the definitions, like it was when you look at in a quantum model, you have, you know, you can model a reflection, you can of energy, you can model the absorption, and without ionization, and a body or a molecule can absorb energy without, I mean, just one. In other words, it doesn't need two to do this. So in other words, if you were just to take one molecule of oxygen, in other words, that's all that there was. There's not another one for it to rub against anywhere. Can it absorb energy? Yeah, it can. And how that happens, is to the best of my knowledge, I mean, you know, here again, I'm not a nuclear physicist here, but there again, to the best of my knowledge, the way I understand it, is that R radius increases, energy is absorbed, nuclear count is equal, which means no electrons were either lost or absorbed. But it didn't lose or gain an electron. The atomic count is equal, and the orbit R is higher for all shells. In other words, not just the valence, the whole thing moved up. Not jumping, just higher R. So in other words, one molecule increased in energy, but it didn't have to need another one next to it to basically absorb energy from electromagnetic wave. So that's why, here again, as I said, you know, and the temperature would increase for that one molecule, KC2, QIQ.
Let me jump into what Eric just said. Glenn, describe to me an O2 molecule that I have just cooled to very close to absolute zero. I've cooled him to 1 millikelvin. And you're looking at that molecule. Tell me what you see. Compare. You took a perfect picture of an O2 molecule at 25 degrees centigrade, roughly 300 degrees Kelvin, 290 Kelvin. And now I cool him to 1 millikelvin. And I take another picture of him. Tell me see how those two pictures differ?
Well, when I put T into that quantum model again, R decreases. So in other words, now all of the electron orbits are more compact to that point, and they will eventually try to, because they can't change the bond of the of whatever material it is, they can only collapse to a certain point. In other words, it's not that they're collapsing, in other words, just that R is decreasing. So in other words, if you look at the proton, the neutron in the center, and you have the electron orbits now are basically being drawn in towards the nuclei at that time. So eventually they're going to get to a point where, as you said, because the atomic value of that atom can't change anymore, the only thing it can do after that is just slow down. That's the only thing left. If the radius can't come down anymore, all it can do is slow down until it almost comes to a complete stop, Dick. And I think that they've actually done measurements where they've almost completely viewed this. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
When I ask Wikipedia to tell me the radius of a molecule or the diameter of a molecule, and they give it to me in angstroms, how come temperature is not in that equation?
Because in energy units, the radius of an angstrom is a fixed unit. So in other words, it's not it's an energy level that's been converted. Because in other words, the actual like description of atomic levels, like when you know where we're talking about like how much area it takes up and stuff like this physically, most of that stuff was kind of dropped out with Bohr, like somewhere like around 1910. And these physical models, in which that's when they started going back into like more like particle theory, and they would just describe the particle as mass and as energy. So they became unified units of angstroms, where they would talk about the specific like area of the molecule and its energy level, and then they were treated as basically as the photon. So the photon description came in, where they basically said, okay, this is the amount of mass and this is the amount of energy, and it was separated into that point, and they kind of got away from this kind of geometry effect of the atomic model, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
I'm going to take a single oxygen atom. By some means, I didn't take an O2, I took a single oxygen atom. Call it O1 if you like. By some means, I measured its apparent diameter of its outer electron shell, and I did that when the whole damn thing is sitting at 25 degrees C. Then I cooled it to 1 millikelvin, and I measured that oxygen atom again. I measured its diameter. Give me a ballpark. How much did the diameter of the oxygen atom change?
Here again, you know, when it's just a different way of how you're going to look at this. In other words, are you going to go back to the Bohr's model, or are we going to talk about like one of the more modern models? We can just talk about it. In other words, there's two ways of describing this in a quantum model. One is you can say, okay, I have an X number of protons, X number of neutrons, X number of electrons. I can look at the amount of energy imposed upon it and take its quantum level and its atomic count. And you can come up with what it is and just use its number of angstroms, and that's a fixed number, and you can say that there was no volumetric change. You can go back to the Bohr model, and you can say, okay, that this particular time, it had a radius R, and the reason why kind of sometimes the Bohr model is kind of a little bit nicer is because the radius R gives you the direct altitude from the proton to determine energy level. So in other words, R goes into it, and just mathematically works out a little bit easier. But it's just two different ways of looking at it, Dick. You can, if you describe it in one way, you can say it never changes. You look at it from the other model, you can say it's at a higher altitude. So take your pick on that one, KC2QIQ.
No matter which model I use, is the average velocity of the electrons that are in orbit around that nucleus changing? Is the average velocity of the electrons changing? Is the average radius of their orbit changing? With either model, as I change temperature. Over to you, Glenn.
Okay, now you came back to another interesting question again. It's the difference between two models. What's the velocity? velocity of an electron.
I don't know, but to my knowledge, the most modern, most respected model means that every single non-ionized oxygen atom or O2 molecule has a fixed size, irrespective of temperature. The size of the molecule or the size of the atom only changes if you ionize it by raising the electrons to a higher orbit. And they don't want to be there. No matter what you do, they're going to be dropping back down at a certain rate. When they drop back down, they give off an extremely characteristic wavelength, somewhere around 60 gigahertz. The water molecules in your microwave oven are not doing that. Or you and I can put O2 molecules in an oven, and they do not do that. I'm believing that the most modern molecule, most modern model, the most respected model, says that temperature is the average velocity of the whole damn unit. And we're not disturbing the device itself, the molecule itself, we're not disturbing in any way. We just move the whole damn thing, and that's what the temperature of a thermometer is measuring. Over to you, Glenn.
Okay, here's an interesting one for you. If you look at the two different versions of models, if the radius, if the electron is assumed to move at the speed of light, and it has a alternate radius, okay, basically what happens is the amount of time in its orbit is different, so you can solve for delta T. That's one model. Now you can look at another model where you say that the altitude in non-ionization, those we're saying, you know, because the count's always the same here, you can say, okay, that basically the radius is always fixed, okay, but the velocity of the electron is changing. There's reasons for calculating both ways, and generally, like in an accelerator experiment, where you want to collide something, and you want to look at basically electron spin and take off. There's a reason why you would want to keep and use angstrom units at that point and go with that particular model. But does anybody actually really know at this point in time what the actual proton and electron interaction is inside the actual molecule? I would say that I probably bet you that they don't.
You know, if you go to Wikipedia and look up temperature, they give you a couple of things here that explains it, including an animation of the thermal vibrational segment of materials, and it's a kinetic energy. There's a whole big thing on it in here, and it's pretty interesting. They also go to say that the NISC has been able to take pictures of the motion of atoms, cesium atoms specifically, but they have to do it at near absolute zero because the damn things move pretty damn fast.
Either way, Dick, it's one of those things where, as I said, I know it's confusing to me. I've had to do in courses those equations, tons and tons of them, over and over to determine energy levels, dissipations, and bonding currents. And I mean, oh my goodness. And, you know, you come back now and it's like, oh my God, 20 years later since I've had one of these courses. And it's coming back little by little. But I do remember even then, you know, even asking, you know, physics teachers about what's going on here. And I'm not so sure that they even understood 100%.
Early radio telescope measurements measured the amount of hydrogen in the universe and its velocity and its location, whatever, by measuring the characteristic frequency of H1, individual hydrogen molecules, 1420 megacycles at a fraction. How does a hydrogen molecule emit 1420 megacycles?
Waiting.
That was a question to you. I'm going to make a guess. I'm guessing that cosmic rays strike striking individual free hydrogen molecules in free space, excite those single electrons to a higher orbit. When they drop down, they give off an extremely characteristic wavelength, exactly 1420 megacycles, 21 centimeters, I think it's called. Their excitation took place because of a cosmic ray impacting that hydrogen molecule with tremendous velocity and expanding that electron to the next higher orbit, and he stays there for nanoseconds and jumps back down. Gives off a very characteristic wave when he does that. None of the air molecules in your room are doing that. None of the water molecules, air molecules, or whatever in your wife's oven are doing that. They're not being excited to higher orbital levels of those electrons. In the case of a solid, the molecules are rattling in space, they're rattling in position, they're locked together in a matrix, but they're bouncing around. And how violently they bounce around, you and I call that temperature of a solid. In the case of a gas, which is a kind of a fluid, the molecules are free to move any way they want. And they have an average kinetic energy, which is real free motion that you and I call speed. I'm not going to use the word velocity because they jump in all kinds of directions. Velocity is a vector in a particular direction. They've got an average speed. Temperature is speed. I strongly believe that. When you go to that Wikipedia article that Eric just told you about, I've seen that thing. It's a beautiful animation. It shows you the individual molecules as a bunch of red dots.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Those gas molecules in that animation are individual round red objects moving around, bouncing against each other, and bouncing against the walls of the container. That's what a fluid called gas does. And when you, they allow you to dial in a higher temperature on that model. And when you do, you see them move faster. You don't see them change in diameter. You see them move faster. I think the model might be pretty darn close to truthfulness. Try it, Glenn. I really got to go. We're not going to settle this tonight. But I think we're getting a little closer to a truth. I hope we are. I got to leave. Bye-bye, you guys. K2RIW. Try to be kind to each other. And this is a friendly disagreement, technical disagreement, in my opinion. You got it, Glenn.
It's fun to discuss these things, but just keep this in mind, too. There's an interesting gentleman named Heisenberg who said, you know something? When you know what the mass is, you don't know what the energy is. And you know, when you know what the energy is, you're not really sure what the mass is. And funny part about those kinds of experiments are, when you're looking at that on a scope, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the mass, or are you looking at the energy? KC2, QIQ.
I think Heisenberg said if you know the position, you don't know the velocity, and if you know the velocity, you don't know the position. He didn't mention mass.
Same thing, Dick. KC2, QIQ.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much for an interesting evening. KC2WGB.
Repeater system. Good morning. Net tonight at 8:30.
Dr. Flossenstein. What's going on?
N2EV.
Lift things up and put them down.
Duda. Good morning, Rich. Good morning, John. Put the gas pedal down. The traffic is wide open. I'm at Lakeville already. John, you give it to Richie.
Okay. Here we are. Back to work Monday morning. And, we get another snowstorm to look forward to. Oh, yeah. So that's it. Okay. We rested up for the weekend, and look what happened Saturday. The Jets won. Unbelievable. Rich? N2EV.
This is the N2PPN Jetson 5 Mobile. What's going on? How's everything? And, yep. Another work week has begun. And snow looms in our future. Garish, another snow job for you. Over to you, sir, and your Lakeville pedal to the metal, whatever other references you want to make. And to Zeddy B, and to PPN.
Yes, it was a lovely game Saturday. I expect, I hope, we have an equally lovely game on Sunday next week. But if the Jets don't rush Brady, he will pick them apart. They got to grind it out on the ground, keep Brady off the field. That's how they beat Peyton. John?
All right. That was unbelievable anyway. And it's the pedal to the metal. Some federal buildings are closed, I think, today. Not sure. Anyway, just getting out to the four-laner over here. Rich, over to you. N2PPN, N2EB.
Sorry about that. I was in the middle of negotiating a turn. Anyway, I don't know, grinding, keeping people down, all this battlefield talk, oppression, suppression, more grindage. I don't know. Very violent. Violent morning that you're portraying there, Mr. Tooth Fairy. But anyway. Got your snow shovel in your car and your chains. Your bag of rock salt. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it come Wednesday morning. You're going to need those chains on the car to get you where you gotta go. I'll need four sets of chains. Four chains, two sets for my vehicle. So I could make it where I gotta go. Because it's gonna be bad. Bad, bad, bad. Bad, bad, bad. Gary?
Well, I'll be driving home Tuesday night in it, and then Wednesday morning, I'll probably end up losing office hours in the morning because I'll be shoveling, and then depending on how the roads are, I'll go with NYU in the afternoon, and we'll see what happens. Luckily, Wednesday, I don't have to worry about a parking spot because I'm indoors, if I can get there. John?
Well, I got call this afternoon. They said, come on in. I called yesterday, and everybody that's scheduled for jury duty, stay home. Not report. I was like, oh. Hopefully I go Tuesday and Wednesday, just hang out, you know, hang out in the auditorium, read a book, watch the snow. That would be the best if that happens. I don't have to worry about the snow then. But I heard it's supposed to be drifts and wind and, instead of snow coming straight down, it's going to be horizontal. Mitch?
Dogs are going to be sleeping with cats. Rain's going to be coming down in buckets. It's going to be just horizontal snow. 17-foot drifts. Only one snowplow working. It's going to be glorious. Glorious, glorious. It's going to be one of those, you know, time to just stay home and snuggle up with the Kindle by the fire. Now, John, if you had a Kindle and you wanted to, you know, report to jury duty, would you have to leave your Kindle in your car because you couldn't burn your Kindle from both ends on because they don't let you bring electronic stuff into the in the courthouse? You might want to comment on that on the next go-around. Garish?
Well, they can't completely prevent you from bringing electronic stuff in because everyone's got a cell phone. And I brought an iPod once. Didn't give me any problems. John?
Yeah, I know. I think that, you know, like, if you get on a case, they might say stuff like that, like no nothing. And, but that's if you're on a case. But I you know, a lot of, you sit there and you wait. Yeah, that'd be good, too. Bring a Kindle with you. I got a book to complete. I got, you know, finishing up on a book. I can knock that out. Knock it out. Yeah. And then I got the iPod that I could look at news. What if they have Wi-Fi there? I could ask them. I can't get online. Mitch?
Excuse me, officer, bailiff. What's the password for the secure Wi-Fi network here in the courthouse so I could, you know, get onto YouTube with my iPod? Could you please give me that password? Or maybe, just maybe, I'd like to run my EchoLink app and talk to all my friends on W2VL through EchoLink via my iPhone or my iPod. Could you tell me, please, sir? I really would like to know. What'd you say it was? Jurisprudence? Okay. Garish? In the four-laner. And dose, PPN.
Well, if John asked that, that would be better than what you would ask. You would ask, you know, so you could go to your website to view the kitty porn. John?
Wow. Okay. Now, Rich, I got a question for you. If I bring my iPod Touch and connect up to Wi-Fi, can I download the EchoLink app and get on 850 so I can, like, you know, hey, let's see what the guys are up to on the talk. If I can do that, be pretty clever to try.
Well, first off, which generation iPod Touch do you have? Do you have the earbuds with the microphone? Because you're going to need that if you want to talk. If you want to just listen, that's one other thing. And, of course you could. You could do all sorts of wonderful, fantastic things, you know? You don't even have to be a dues-paying member to get on via EchoLink from iPhone or iTouch or iPod or I pee my pants or whatever. You don't need any of that. You could just, you know, once you're, as long as you're a ham and you download and activate the app, you're good to go, baby. Good to go. GTG IRL. Gary?
I'm trying to figure out who this guy in front of me is. He pulled out alongside of me, and we're both getting off at the same exit, and he honked and then waved. I have no idea who it is. Not ham plates, so I can't figure it out from there. Maybe someone from NYU. We're going to the same place. We'll see. Maybe I'll figure it out. John?
Ah, it's a stalker. It's a stalker. Yeah. Yeah, this guy, this guy told, I got the fourth generation, and I downloaded this app called Free Apps. And every day they come along with like free apps of the day, you know. And half of them are like nonsense, but one or two is good. I get this pop-ups all weekend long. What do they call them? Push? You got pushes all weekend long about the Arizona thing. First the congresswoman, then the judge. Like, what's this world coming? Yeah. What if I could go on a website and download that? Nah, I don't think it'll work, though. Right? I mean, EchoLink is for what operating system?
There's an app for that, John. There's an app for that. There is an iPhone, iPod, iTouch application. There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store. That's all. Just go to the App Store. I mean, they've got it for Mac. They've got it for IBM. They've got it for Apple. Pods, things. They'll probably have it for Ubuntu. You listening, Richio? Ubuntu. And all those other Linux derivatives. So... probably something like that. You just need that set of earbuds that's got the microphone on it. That's always a cool little thing. But anyway, I digress. Gary, I hope you wrote the guy's license plate number down someplace so that should you suddenly disappear, get run off the road or whatever, when we find your vehicle... we'll be able to track the license plate number to the guy who was stalking you. And yeah, that whole tragedy out there, my God, kind of gives you pause to reflect. Maybe they should have, like, metal detectors at, like, Limark board meetings or something, because someone might walk into a board meeting and kill them all. Gary? And 2PPN.
I would like to know how this guy got an extended clip, because those are supposed to be illegal for anyone other than law enforcement, and he had the extended clips. You know, you can't prevent him from getting the gun because, hey, he didn't have a criminal record. He may have been insane, but he didn't have a criminal record, so give him a gun. Anyway, I figured out who it was. I got alongside of him. I didn't recognize the car. He's using his wife's car instead. One of the guys from NYU. I would have hoped it was a female, but it turned out to be one of the guys. John?
Well, in Arizona, you're allowed to carry, so open, you know, openly carry. And I guess you can get anything you want. Semi-automatic weapon. Crazy. Not his man like you. He's tied to that anti-government thing. Some sort of anti-government on the internet. The internet is so bad. Mitch?
Comment from the peanut gallery.
Yeah, well, you can openly carry, you don't need a criminal record. You know, let's do meet and greets at Safeways. Let's have board meetings at libraries. You know, open public areas where anybody could just, like, show up. And Gary, extended clip, there's plenty of places to get extended clips. For all sorts of firearms, there's extended clips for semi-automatic long guns, there's extended clips for semi-automatic handguns. If you're a halfway decent machinist, you can fabricate your own. You know, nice 26 shot 9mm extended clip, not that long, couple of those, you're ready to rock and roll, man. Rock and roll, speed loaders for your revolver, you could go to war, drop a whole bunch of people before anyone would be able to stop you. Drop a whole bunch of people. All right. Cross Island's not looking good, so I'm going to opt for the clear view. Gary, over to you. And to BPN Mobile.
Yeah, but speed loaders are not. For the standard revolver, you're stuck with only 6 shots before you have to reload. And the automatics, even the standard clips take more than 6 shots. John?
JV2NQN Mobile.
Hey, I don't know anything about guns. I don't know. You just point and shoot, like a camera. Look at my camera. I point and shoot. That's it. Yeah, and all these guys. What if I can make a silencer? Now, Steve, are the silencers left-handed threads? Over to you. And then give it to Rich. KB2. And you had to get it. And two.
Like to silence you, that I can tell you. Anyway, this is the KV2NQN Infected Mobile. Very happy to be sending out all those emails to everybody. Sorry if you did receive them. And the witchy got my testicle message, so hopefully they'll start to abate. I don't know if, you know, they sneak back in or whatever. But thanks for the heads up. Witchy?
Check the timestamp
on your textical message, because you sent out two more around 4:30, 4:40 yesterday afternoon. I think that was the time stamp. So I saw a couple more in the late afternoon that emanated from your box. So you may still have a bug in your box. Garish, and to begin.
Okay, guys, I'm at the tunnel, so I'm going to have to say 7-3. But if you get a chance, drop the Elfin One a line. He's really down in the dumps. He failed his physical on Friday, so he's out of work for another 2 weeks. So maybe the game Saturday night perked his spirits because they know he was planning to watch it. 73 all, N2ZEP clear. John, you pick it up.
7-3 is Gary. As he goes subterranean. Good. I'm going to say 7-3 is also, because I'm at exit 1. And Steve's got a bug in his life. He's just one big bug. He's got a virus. He comes on the radio with a virus. What are you, kidding me? We're all kidding now. You know, why don't you stay home? Stay off the radio, too. Gosh. You want to infect the whole amateur radio group. You big infectious thing, you. 7-3, guys. Steve, and 2 TV.
Righty, then. Now, hopefully everybody will be okay now. I saw that, Rich, and I did 1, 2, 3 more sweeps with 2 different programs. So, that's what I mean. I don't know if it's, you know, out there and then it tries to come back. But I'll sweep it. It's set up to sweep it when I log on now. So, I'll just stay on top of it the next few days and hopefully all this will go away. Insidious. Insidious. People sit there all day thinking of how to do these things, correct? It's incredible, really incredible. And they were Trojans, by the way, which I don't use.
Take care, 7-3 to our dearly and almost nearly departed. Very good. Yeah. They were Trojans, all right. But at least they're of a, you know, less destructive nature. They're just insidious. You know, they're just like insidious. They want to propagate these websites that are selling whatever they're selling. You know, Viagra, this, that, the other thing. But, you know, keeping your pores clean and fresh. Oh, God. Like I said, the easiest way to stop that till you actually locate it, terminate it, kill it, and disinfect it is to just unplug that RJ45 from the back of it. And if you can't locate it and find it, as long as there's nothing on there that you can't afford to lose, simplest solution is just wipe it. Just wipe it. Might take a few little while to put everything back where it was, but if it's wiped, at least, you know, like Charmin, it'll be clean and fresh. Steve's?
Alrighty then, in 7-3 to the dearly departed. Alright, I got bigger fish to fry.
change that up. Yeah, I saw the weather before I left, and it looks like there's going to be a most definitive dousing on Tuesday night, Wednesday.
That's what they say. That's what they say. I'm wondering if it's this truck that I'm following that's giving me this overwhelmingly permutating odor in my vehicle, or if it's the fact that I had a Chipotle hamburger last night, because there is just something very stanky going on over here.
Well, what are the odds of the truck in front of you smelling like a Chipotle hamburger?
I don't know whether it was the truck or me, because, you know, I get a little pressure. Feel a little pressure, you know? It was one of those kind of, like, mornings, like, that was good. And it's like, maybe there's a little left. But, you know, could be just the pressure. A little bit of, you know, the pressure trying to equalize and find its way to solving Bernoulli's principle of equilibrium of gases.
Remember now, you could gamble and lose.
I don't gamble on such things.
'Cause everybody has. You know? Everybody has. You get that one day, and you never had a day where you had to turn around and go home?
Not at all. Never had a day like that. 'Cause a day without sunshine is like a day without sunshine.
All right, it's funny stuff. You know what? I gotta call my son a second. I was like rushing to get out of the house, and I forgot a couple of things. And I left him money, and I don't know if I left it in my daughter's notebook, and he took it. Hold on. I'll be right back.
All right, go do what you gotta do. I'm just going through the toll booths here on Mainland USA and 2PPN.
And 2 Alpha Sierra Sierra.
What's up, Kramer?
Well, I'm hoping the guy or the mechanic will get my truck back before the snow. That's that's what's up.
Oh, you with that truck already? Why don't you just like pour gallon of high test on it and light it up?
Yeah, well, it's aggravating. I can't believe that. Yeah, I gave him the head. I think I gave him the head Thursday, and he put one on Friday, and then it was either that or Wednesday. I don't remember which day I gave him that. And then, I don't know. He didn't touch it all weekend because I went by and saw it. So I'm going to give him a call this morning. So there's one remaining head to go on there, and then the water pump and some odds and ends. I hope he can get this thing done. You know, I don't know. I just have a feeling it'll be just the third snowstorm that I miss.
Oh, well, just tell him, you know, if he doesn't get it back on the road, he might not get paid.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable now. You know, I'm just a little annoyed because, like, my cousin brought his truck over there to get done twice, two different trucks, and he fixed both of them, you know, and obviously put off my truck to do that. So, I don't know. But his excuse will be, well, he's got a business, so do I, basically. You know, so, I don't know. Aggravating.
this guy just doesn't like you.
It's more along the lines when you see that somebody is kind. Everyone mistakes kindness for weakness, which could go hand in hand, too. So he figures I'll be the easiest one to just, you know, bump. You know what I mean? That kind of deal. Without getting flack from it. That's probably what it is. He sees I'm a pretty mellow guy, and that's what it is.
They call you Mellow Yellow?
Mellow Yellow. Hey, what if Stevie did a system restore on his computer? You know, where you, I heard him talking before about that Trojan virus. It wasn't the Ramsey. But what would happen if he just went back, like even, you could even pick a date or something. I've never done it myself, and I'm getting ready to. But even if you picked a date and just did a system restore from like 4 months ago, and it would keep everything that was before that date, supposedly, I'm not even exactly sure, but he could always do that.
Well, then I guess that's up to Stevie if he wants to do that, you know? He could try a bunch of different things, I guess. He'll find something that'll work for him.
What am I doing?
2HCV. Wow, wait, we gotta stop all traffic and give it over to HCB. It's been so long and we're all wondering how you're doing.
We're wondering how come you didn't call him up, huh?
I don't have his number.
Please, go ahead there, brokenness.
Yeah, just in here for a quick jump, guys. Good morning. And as far as how I'm doing, hopped up on Toradol. That says it all. And I go on the, the 21st. I gotta go for reevaluation, and they'll do another test on the neck. And if I don't pass, then they'll ground me for another 2 weeks. Fun. I can't hang out. I gotta run. I gotta get back upstairs. My daughter needs help with something. So I will, I'll be on and off here and there and everywhere. W2HCV.
Alright, that was a word from our sponsor. So what am I supposed to be making a choice of doing?
John, I hope you feel better. And, look at the bright side. At least you're not on the road with all the snow and crap like that. And you have some time to stay home. And then there may even be a financial settlement at the end. Could look forward to that. And, Steve, I was thinking about a system restore. You know how you have that option in your computer? And you could even pick it, like you could do it from, like, 3 months ago or something like that. So everything will stay in there that you had prior to 3 months. And it'll just kind of reboot everything. So, and take out everything from past that date. Just a thought.
Yeah, feel better, you little elf. Speak at you later. He sounds like such a downtrodden little elf. You know, scaling that boot, and you know, you slip on one of the lace holes and you fall inside the boot, and this is what happens. Witchy?
Not to mention, and to PPN Mobile, not to mention that, you fall into the boot and then you suffer the injury to your neck and stuff, but then you also turn around and you have to sit there and smell stinky feet until, you know, 2 days later someone pulls you out of the boot and retrieves you. So you don't even get prompt medical attention either. Kramer? Over to you, and to PPN at the power plant.
I think we should get together and send him some pygmy porn. This way he has something to look at. you know, while he's down.
Well, you'll have to consult with his doctor. You know his doctor? Dr. Schultz. You know, his neck is killing him, but man, his sheets smell great. You know, Greg, really want to try and make up with Johnny for lost time. Why don't you just collect all your Fisher Price furniture and bring it over to his house?
I do have that. You know what? We have that table that I got for my three-year-old with the chairs and stuff, and that would be good because he wouldn't have to bend his neck so far, you know, to reach the table and stuff like that. It'll be perfect. I'll look at, I have some of that stuff. You know what? Maybe we'll do that. We'll get together. You have to show me how to get to his house, and we'll drop some of that stuff off. He would appreciate it.
Little Tykes, all the Little Tykes furniture, we'll just round it up and bring it over to Johnny's house.
You don't know how to get to his house?
Follow the yellow brick road. The poor guy is down, and here we... he comes on for 2 seconds to say hello, and this is the best we could come up with. Oh, boy, that's pretty funny. I guess it wouldn't be the 850 if it wasn't like this.
God bless 850.
Follow the yellow brick road.
You know that app you were talking about? For the, I have the iTouch 3rd generation, I think it's called. And I'll tell you, I did that EchoLink, and I got the wires from the flea market or something with the headset. It really did work. It worked. You know, it worked pretty well, and it was a free app. Now the problem I'm having is my son, I gave the thing to my son, and he hit a button, and it locked. And he tried to unlock it so many times with different passwords that it finally disabled it. So I went through iTunes, and they said you have to download this and plug it into here and hit that button and this button, whatever we did, except now it will not connect to iTunes. My computer keeps getting this thing. It says Apple Sync Notifier is not working, and that's been happening for months. Every time you turn it on, it's very annoying. And no matter what you do, I've re-downloaded iTunes, I've re-downloaded Apple Sync Notifier, whatever that is, and I'll have to try it on a different computer. But I have a feeling he's going to lose every song, which was not saved on a library, and every app, because he did them all wirelessly. So I think it's, I think he lost a lot in there this time.
I got two questions for you.
One is probably going to be, why did I give it to my son? And why didn't I back it up with a library? Are those the two questions?
Do you know how to use a shoelace?
No. The first question is, Greg, do you think that you're qualified to give Skeevy any kind of advice about his computer at all in light of what you just divulged to us, number one? And number two is, every single